The crack is back. And as I said to you on the Sugar Sean O'Malley episode, I really wanted to get a take from the Irish scene about this current crop of Irish fighters who have been on a bit of a bad run. Obviously, there is UFC Dublin potentially looming. We have Ian Garry, who is one of the great prospects in the sport. But I think I've jazzed myself up too much on what UFC Dublin should be, given the comparisons to 2014. I think I need to lower my expectations, not you guys. For a long time, I kind of thought when the UFC comes back, we'll have an opportunity to change how this country feel about MMA and things like that. And maybe that's putting it on way too much of a pedestal. The only man that I wanted to talk to about this is Andy Stevenson, who is doing amazing work on the Irish scene. He's the best guy covering the Irish scene right now. He has a brilliant, brilliant podcast with Caoilte de Barra and Ian O'Neill called The L Triangle. And that will be the heartbeat of the Irish scene right now, from amateur to pro and everything in between. They're absolutely brilliant. They all rep Severe MMA, my old playhouse, under the watchful eye of Graeme McDonald. And I wanted to get him on to talk about all these things, to talk about Ian Garry, how brilliant he is and how likely the UFC will come just to give him that moment anyway. Let's be honest, this event, when it comes, it's about showing Ian Garry as a hero to international audiences, because he will be adored by the Irish, as every Irish fighter on these Bellator cards is. We have fantastic fans, and I really believe that it will be a huge moment for Ian, because he is that special of a fighter. I just wanted to do 2014 again, I think. So this episode is about managing my expectations for UFC Dublin and Andy Stevenson calming me down, because I desperately need it. Here he is, Andy Stevenson. I told you on the Sean O'Malley episode that I was all over the gaff in terms of how I'm feeling about potential UFC Dublin, about the Irish MMA charges in the UFC. So I had to call in an expert. I had to call in the man with his finger on the pulse of what's happening out here on these streets in Ireland. And that's none other than Andy Stevenson of Severe MMA and the L Triangle podcast. Andy, how are you, darling?
Good evening, Mr. Carroll. How are you? Thanks for having me back on The Crack. A pleasure, as always, an honor.
I mean, you and Chuck Mendenhall are the most tenured guests in the history of the podcast.
Oh, wow. This three times now, is it?
It's the big three. The Mendenhall, we call it. Yeah.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel here, aren't you?
No, I actually haven't, because I think I'm going mad, because I can't stop thinking about the situation that we're in here with Irish MMA, UFC, etc. And I need you to help me here, because I need to put a bow on how I feel about this. Obviously, we've had a succession of, a series of debuts that have not gone according to plan. Sean O'Bannon, Reese McKee's second debut it's not a debut, but you know what I mean. Caelan Lochran, and then Kiefer Crosby at the weekend. And suddenly, everybody is coming at Irish MMA. I'm getting it in the neck every time I'm on social media. People seem to be rejoicing in the fact that Irish MMA is not doing too well at the moment, which is a strange one based on how we're perceived in different sports, right? Like, I feel like we're always the cheery underdog in soccer, rugby. Obviously now we're one of the best teams in the world, but because we're such a small island, I feel like people kind of say, wow, this is great. But suddenly, and I don't know if it's just me that's seeing this, there's a lot of hate coming the way of the Irish MMA fighters, particularly the UFC ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of par for the course, though, with Irish fighters. Like, I've seen this for the last number of years. Any time any Irish fighter is signed to the UFC, there seems to be a cohort that wants to just label them all as wannabe McGregors, and then rejoice when they turns out not many people are like Conor McGregor. So like it's kind of par for the course. And yeah, like it's a bad run of form overall when you look at Irish debuts at the moment. Like, there's no two ways about that, as far as results go. But yeah, like it kind of, I don't know, it is what it is. It's not the end of the world. But it's not, yeah, it's not going great right now. But I think this always happens. It's kind of a blessing and a curse as well, isn't it? Like I was chatting to Paddy Hulin about this recently enough, where you'll know more than me, you know, you've been covering this a lot longer than I have, but there is a media core in Ireland that specifically focuses on Irish fighters. And so we're constantly looking at you know, which fighters are breaking through, etc. You don't have that specifically with like Americans or other nations, I find. So yeah, like we big up fighters justifiably because we believe in them. And sometimes it doesn't pan out in their debut. That's not to say that, you know, they're not going to win their next fight. Neil Seary lost his debut and went on and won his next fight, had a great run in the UFC. So, you know, these other fighters can absolutely do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And I also would say it's not doom and gloom. It shouldn't be doom and gloom. That's why this negativity is kind of getting to me, because this is actually really positive at the moment in terms of the bodies we have in the UFC. There was a long time there where there was nothing on these UFC cards for Irish fans to get behind, unless it was Ian, who is relatively new, let's be honest as well. There was a time as well where it was just Conor, you know. Dean Barry obviously came in for a debut as well. But in terms of activity for Irish fighters in the UFC, this is quite positive. I mean, we have been covering, I feel like, a fight every couple of weeks with an Irish fighter in the UFC. So I don't understand. And maybe it's outside of Ireland that I'm getting this perception from. I don't understand the negativity in that regard. But of course, it is the results. But would you agree with me? Like, this has been quite an exciting time to be covering the Irish sport.
Of course. Like, it's the most excited I've been probably ever covering it. You know, when the initial wave came through, I wasn't covering it as a media member. I was a fan. I'm now covering it as a media member, and I've never been more excited in my life. And I think that there's plenty more fighters that are kind of on the precipice of breaking through to the UFC over the next kind of 12, 18 months, even sooner than that. There's some who could probably make the jump in the next three to 6 months. So we could be at a point soon enough where we have more concurrent UFC fighters from Ireland than ever before, you know, more than the first wave, which is a massively positive thing. And of course, as you're, you know, some of these fighters, they don't have many pro fights either when they're coming in to the UFC. So of course they're gonna falter at some point. It just so happens to be that it's on kind of the biggest stage in the world when it comes to mixed martial arts. So for some of these guys, like, you know, look at Sean O'Bannon and look at Caelan Loughran coming in previously undefeated, and they've short careers as pros. So this was always going to happen at a certain point. It just happened to happen in their debut. And you know, both of those fights, it's not like they went out and got put out early or anything like that. You know, went to decision. And I'm sure, I mean, about two fighters who are looking to get, are itching to get back in there, you know, relatively soon. I heard Caelan Loughran talking to Sean Sheehan earlier on, that he says he absolutely wants to be back in there this year. He's eyeing up December. So a lot of these fighters are going to be itching to get back in there and to right the wrongs.
Yeah, yeah. And I believe they can win. Like, that's the other thing that people seem to forget, short notice. And here's the situation. You get a short notice call to the UFC, you have to go. There's no two ways about it. If you want to be in that situation, I know there is rarities like Paddy Pimblett who could turn them down, knowing that he had the stock to get back to that negotiation table. But when Kiefer Crosby gets that phone call, if he doesn't say yes, he might never get that phone call again. Like, I know Kalen's a lot younger in his career, but the same applies. The UFC can get the hump with you, and you've got to take them. And I know Kalen obviously had an opponent with Gamori, I think it was. Am I right? Is it Gamori? What was his name?
Yeah, Gamori.
That's right. And now it changed, obviously, to a much harder fight in Lapolis. But at the same time, like, we can't be... I thought Caelan fought really well. But in terms of Kiefer especially, we can't be like, well, this is him 100%. This is everything he's going to bring to the table. And I get the feeling that is what people are thinking, right? Like, they're thinking, this is everything these Irish people have to bring to the table. I believe they can win. Do you?
Yeah, well, 100%, I believe they can win. And I think it's kind of online. It's MMA fans as well. Like, there's a difference between online and reality as well sometimes. And yeah, like, I've definitely seen that, like, oh, here's another Irish fighter being hyped up and now they're losing. And you're 100% right about, like, you have to take your opportunities. Like, I think, as you were speaking there, I think of a Paul Hughes, where, you know, we spoke with his coach a while back on the L Triangle, and there was talk of certain opportunities and they couldn't be taken for whatever reason, whether it was through injury or whatever. And now we're in a situation where there's a guy who 100% should be in there, and who I believe would go in and hit the ground running very, very quickly in the UFC. And we don't know what's going on with him. Like, everyone's kind of perplexed as to why he hasn't been signed now. And now, you know, he's kind of resorting to calling out George Hardwick for Cage Warriors. So it's just a bit bizarre. So, like, you know, if you're Kiefer Crosby or if you're whoever, if you're Caelan Lochran, you're saying, no, I'm not going to take that fight. Like, look at the way Wonderboy has been treated ever since he decided not to take a short notice change of opponents. And that's Wonderboy. That's someone who's established, who's fought for a title. What do you think they're going to do to Caelan Lochran if he says, no, actually, I'm all right. I won't take that fight. I'll sit this one out. Like, you may not get the call again.
Absolutely. They could have potentially cut him. Like, you know, that's it. That's the end of your UFC dream. I think that has happened before as well. This is my feeling on the situation. When we were talking about, like, you know, before all of these people were signed, well, maybe not all of them, before some of them were signed, there was talk of UFC Dublin. There was this wild excitement. And you can't help but hark back to the days of yore, Andy, of 2014, when it's like Ireland woke up to what MMA was.
We were all there.
Yeah, everybody suddenly realized, like, this is so cool. And mainstream media coverage came. And household names, Carl Pendred, Paddy Hoolan, Neil Siri, Gunnar Nelson, Norman Parr, Conor McGregor. These people were now public property. They were like rock stars. I still remember seeing Paddy Hoolan trying to run down Harcourt Street. He was trying to leave early to go home. And people, locked animal fans, were running after him down the road. And I was like, this is it. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. And I believe that MMA's reputation has gone by the wayside in the last few years. I think the popularity of McGregor, how famous he is, how synonymous he is with Ireland, and then obviously his behavior outside the cage have made the Irish public feel a certain way about this. So me, selfishly, I've always looked at this Dublin return as this is an opportunity to change the perception of what MMA is here. And with that said, I think it would be putting a lot of pressure on all of these guys who just lost their debuts to put them on a UFC Dublin card now and be like, well, here you are. Here's all the media in the country waiting to speak to you about the fact that your next fight could be your last in the UFC. It doesn't feel like the triumphant moment that I had imagined for UFC Dublin. I am thinking, a lot of people have been saying, March, let these guys fight again elsewhere, and then let's do it in July on the actual anniversary. That's how I feel about it at the moment. Am I crazy? Is that a horrible take?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. Like, when I was thinking about this, and I don't even know if it has to be July. Like, I think the key here is to get these fighters another fight beforehand. But I also think even if it is in March, you can do that. Like, a bunch of these fighters who are coming off losses, they could get a fight in December. I mean, Sean O'Bannon was fighting every feckin' 2 weeks, yeah, when she was early in her career, and as an amateur. Now, obviously, it's different now that you're in the UFC. You're going by their schedule. It's not as easy to just rock up and say, right, I'm going to fight next weekend. But like, I was looking, you know what, I was looking back on the 2014 card, and so we're talking now, we're September. Let's say even if we're talking March, that's 6 months away. If we're talking July, it's 10 months away. You know, Neil Siri, ahead of that, he fought on that UFC Dublin card. 6 months prior, he hadn't even fought in the UFC yet, and then he lost his debut after that. So, you know, he wasn't in a particularly, you know, he was Cage Warriors champion at the time, but he still hadn't fought in the UFC, and then he went and lost. And he still, you know, 6 months later, he's there. You know, he's fighting in Dublin, an amazing event. Carl Pendred, 6 months prior to UFC Dublin, was coming off a loss on Tough. Paddy Hoolan, 6 months prior, was coming off a loss on Tough. So it's almost not quite the same, but similar positions, where it's not like every fighter on that UFC Dublin card in 2014 was riding massive win streaks at this timeline. Give it 6 months, and these fighters who, yeah, they're coming off losses right now, they could be in an entirely different situation, and that's the key. It's the next step. Like, what happens next if Sean O'Bannon goes out there and gets a win, if Caelan Lochran goes out there, gets a win, Reese McKee, Kiefer Crosby, where it's an entirely different conversation again. And at the end of the day, I think what it really hinges on more than anything is Ian Garry. I think that regardless, like, that card's going to be built around him. Mm-hmm. He's the one up in the rankings at the moment. He's the one that's going to draw the most attention. And I think that like, really, it could all depend on what happens next for him. So I think it's a bit premature to be kind of doom and gloom about Dublin, but at the same time, as you mentioned, like, the whole anticipation, the whole groundswell was around that collective Irish feeling. That wasn't just Conor, it was every single one of them that were on the card. It was like, thinking back to that the amazing Pendred's comeback against Mike King. It's never going to be exactly like that, but you're going to want to have a bunch of fighters on that card from Ireland. And like, obviously you can have a Paul Craig or whoever from the UK, like they'll probably replace one of the UK cards with either a Dublin or wherever else in Europe. So you will have European fighters on that can blend in. So there's probably more draws, I guess, for the Irish and UK market for a UFC Dublin for next year. But then again, like you need to have that Irish blood, because otherwise, well, what's the point in coming to Dublin specifically? And I do think that the 10-year makes a whole lot of sense if you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, why do it in March if the fucking anniversary is in July? Like that's just like, I mean, what? Come on, you're trying to connect these two events. One is the most magical international events, like up there with the most magical international events, the birth of a star, the biggest star the organization has ever created, and you're going to do it 3 months before, 4 months before. That's crazy to me. But what is the UFC's plan with this? Let's be honest. You just said it there. The UFC's plan for this event is to get Ian Garry here, get him winning, and have the place go wild, and then send him off onto the championship trail. That's what they want. That's what happened with you. That's what happened with Conor. You heard Dana saying it. We know the blueprint. We know what to do here. That is their primary goal for this. That is Ian Garry's primary goal for this. But I do feel like I think I'm asking for too much. Like today I was thinking about this. Am I asking for too much to have this event that changes perception, that makes people fond of MMA again? Because I believe the cast we have here, if it is as it is, they're people who are going to touch different parts of this population, just like the last crew did. But is that, am I getting way too kind of romantic about what this event should be and I want to be?
A little bit, yeah, to be honest, honest with you. Like, I think yes and no. Like, there's always, look, none of my mates like MMA. Not a single fighter on this list is going to change that, in my opinion. I think that there are going to be people in the country who just don't like it, and they just don't. They have no interest in it, and they'll never have an interest in it. There's going to be a lot of other people who maybe they had an interest in it, you know, five years ago, and they've fallen away, and they're just thinking, there's all the, you know, all the negatives that are associated with it. And it's those guys that you can bring back in. It's those fans that you can kind of reignite their passion and their fire to be like, you know what? You know, I watched a bit of this fight. I watched a bit of Shauna Banerjee. She's got a great story. She's a single mother, you know, succeeding on the world stage. Caelan Lochran, he's played Gap and Tyrone. He's a bit like me. I think there's a bunch of fighters who can connect with that. Absolutely. And I think it can be brilliant. It'll never be the same. It'll never be the same as it was in 2014, because it was so new and this weird thing that they didn't have a chance to have an opinion on it yet, because they didn't have a clue what it was. Whereas now they've seen it, they've already formed that opinion, and it's a case of, right, some people are going to be stuck in their ways and others might be able to be kind of brought back into the family. But I think that, you know, trying to position it as this kind of be all end all for the health of the sport in the country, I don't think that's really fair. And I don't think it can do that. I think it can help. It can put it in the right direction, but it's never going to be a fix all.
Oh no, that, of course it's like, you can't undo what's been done. But mate, we're not in a good situation here. Like, as a guy who's approaching mainstream media to talk about this sport, they don't want to talk about it. You have to beg, pitch the shit out of them, make it out like it's the great escape or something for them to get interested in this. Like, that's the situation we're in here. So I don't think I'm asking too much to like raise up a little bit of what MMA is. Like, these people, like, I still feel like they see MMA fighters as barbarians. Meanwhile, you got the likes of Cathal Pendred, Paddy Hoolan became a politician, Aisling Daly's become a teacher. Like, these people have to find new careers beyond that magical night. I just think it's crazy. But one thing we're missing here, and in fairness to him, he's given Paul Hughes shout out, stuff like that. We're missing a leader. And Ian Garry is by far the leader. He is the guy, as you said, this event will all be about. I saw you interviewing him outside the Tree Arena. You asked him about everyone. I saw him on Ariel on Monday, and he was asked about the Irish cast, and he said, it's all about me. It's all about me. And McGregor was the opposite of that. He was shouting out names as much as he could. Hand ups, not handouts, he used to say, as in, I'll get you here, I'll bring you up, and then it's up to you, which was fantastic. But he was that guy. He was the guy, the biggest cheerleader Irish MMA ever had, and continues to be fair, with the sponsorships, the Black Forge, all that stuff. Ian Garry sparring sessions, three of them. I feel like we need that. I feel like we need Ian to kind of take the bull by the horns, because no one's displacing him. Like, he is out on his own, the most talented dude in this country right now, by a long shot, from this country, should I say. And he's right there in this conversation. He's knocking on the door of the title shot. Am I asking too much?
Like, no, I don't think you are. It's funny, I was looking at, just going through like the Severe May Instagram the other day, and I was scrolling down. I was just looking at the views, to be honest with you, and seeing how the reels were doing. And I scrolled by one, I was like, Jesus, that's got a heap of them. It was like,
that has
like
nine.
700. Yeah, that is 10. one of 700,000 views. And do you know what it was? It was Ian Gary shouting out Paul Hughes. That is reach. And I think that you're right. Like, there was.
And he has, to be fair, he has done that with Paul Hughes, definitely. Like, those two 100%. Guys obviously had their back with the Jack Grant situation, all that stuff. Like, those guys, he definitely has done that for Paul, no doubt about it.
100%. I do wish that he would embrace the kind of Team Ireland a little bit more. Personally, I'd like to see that a bit more. I think that he's also correct in saying, you know, when he talks about the look, it's on, you know, it's on them. He kind of talks about, look, I'll bring it back to Dublin. It's on you guys now to do your part, which is right. But I think you could meet halfway. I think you could meet halfway and shout out the likes of, you know, whoever it may be, a Paul Hughes, which he does, a Lee Hammond, Danny McCormack, Andreas Binder, the Shelley brothers, Omran, whoever that are kind of, you know, not quite there in the UFC just yet, but might be coming. And look, if we're talking July next year, that's a whole lot of time. We got, yes, Cage Warriors Dublin coming up. We've got Danny McCormack defending her Invicta title in Boston. We've got a bunch of fighters. Kieran Clark was just talking about, you know, an undefeated guy who is a brilliant story, who's got a heap of fans from Drogheda. He's in Bellator right now, but he's talking about free agency. You know, these are all people who knows what could happen, but there's a lot of time between now and next July for them to get their feet in the door. So, you know, I would like to see all Irish fighters kind of, you know, bigging each other up a bit more. And to be fair, most of them do. I would like to, I enjoy seeing more of it.
Yeah. It's been a real collective buzz, but I mean, you're telling me the Magic Expectations. What do you think? There's going to be 17 Irish people on this card?
Yeah, just fucking just hell. All Irish on Irish violence.
I mean, just be a bit realistic, will you, Andy, for fuck's sake? Yeah, it's, look, it, and as well, he does have time to do this. Like, if it's, even if it's March, if it's July, he has time to become that guy. But that was one of the most endearing things about Conor. You know, he really wanted this for everyone. He wanted it for the scene. And that's what made the event magic. It happened.
I mean, he's,
know,
doing it again right now, right? Like, with Kiefer and Lee and Keen and Kieran. That's that. He is, like, say what you want about him. He's being a,
I did say
again,
that, right? Don't fucking say what you want to me, right, Andy? I just said that he's
doing. No, I'm not saying that to you.
All right? Fuck,
I'm saying
you.
Saying it to the other people.
So what are you messing? Obviously, like, Ian can still do this. He can become this cheerleader, this leader of men, like McGregor was, and women, of course. But do you know what was mad? And I know I text you about this, and a lot of people text me about it. We want this collective buzz, right? We want this collective feeling. What about John Kavanagh getting on and trying to position Brad Katona for a fight with Caelan Loughran after this guy got his dream moment of a debut and lost by you know, fractions, and here's John Kavanagh trying to match him against one of his lads. I mean, that feels very far away from the vibe we're trying to push forward here, no?
Well, yeah.
I know you liked it. I saw you tweet, I love it. Get them in there, the cunts.
I just love watching Irish fighters fight each other, because I don't know why, I just do. But yeah, I was all for it initially. And then I took a step back and I was like, yeah, that's actually probably a bit odd. Like,
imagine Paul Redman loses his debut and John's tweeting like, here, Philip Mulpeter, this is a great fight for you, Paul. People be like, what are you doing?
I know Brad Katona's only just back in the UFC, but he's a lot more experienced. It probably doesn't make sense.
I've never heard a guy losing a debut and being called out immediately after. Yeah. It's by a two-time world champion.
Shows the power of Caelan Loughran.
Yeah, I mean, he is. People love him.
A bit bizarre though. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the old Bellator thing goes as well, because obviously SPG very, very closely tied to Bellator, so that is a story that will have to play out as well in the next number of months.
Well, I mean, PFL look to be buying them. I imagine there's an old switcheroo that could be done there. I know there's guys who kind of trying to get out of those contracts as well in Bellator, so it is interesting to see. Were you surprised to see John not traveling with Kiefer? I was. He travels with Johnny, travels with Gunnar, travels with Brad.
Yes and no. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see him with James Gallagher either.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. Was he with? I actually meant to go and check this. Was he with Kiefer the last number of times? I don't know if he was.
I don't know. I just always feel like the UFC.
You would probably expect him to be there, but I guess not.
Yeah, interesting situation. But I think you've helped me calm down a bit here, Andy.
I don't know if I have.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I feel like I'm doing the exact opposite.
Well, no, I feel like you're helping me manage expectations for this card and the 17 Irish people that we're going to see that night compete. But maybe I just need to go, right, this is just going to be a fight night. Whatever happens beyond this, because my fear is UFC Glasgow 2017. Yeah. Stevie Ray loses by knockout. Joanne Wood loses in the co-main event. Paul Craig loses by knockout. I was there and it was flat. It was flat when all these, the Scots were going down, you know, and Paul Craig still talks about it now. Like it scarred him, you know, this kind of thing. And they haven't been back since. Like, look at us. And when was Paddy's fight? 2015 with Louis Smoker. Yeah. Like, I mean, Ashling Daly won that night, but I think Cahill lost, Paddy lost, and they didn't come back. So what I'm trying to get is a Paris here. I don't want a Glasgow. I want a fucking Paris. Do you get me? I want them to be coming back and opportunities are there and there's new guys coming on these cards. And we know it's like every year they're coming here. Now, we've never quite established that, but that was my hope. So you're telling me to calm down with the Paris stuff, Prague. Prague.
I think it can still be that, but it's just, I really do think that, look, I think you're right. Like putting that pressure on fighters, as that being their next fight, for the ones who are coming off losses is tough. Like that's a lot of fucking pressure to put on someone. So I really do think we kind of need to, it's kind of like to sit tight and wait and see how the next number of months play out. Like if we get to December and we've had a few more that have bounced back and got big wins, like we're going to be we have a completely different outlook on this. So it's I don't know. Like I find it difficult to kind of look ahead and get a sense of what it'll be like just right now, because I don't know. I feel like I'm a bit like you, where I'm kind of a bit down in the dumps. And maybe you're not, but I feel a bit down in the dumps after the recent results. Where you know it's gone from being this, wow, look at all these fighters in the UFC, to being like, okay, look at all these fighters in the UFC. Now we just need to get the results going.
But we believe.
We do. I absolutely believe.
I really
and
there do. Are,
look, a lot of mitigating factors. A lot of mitigating factors. Not making excuses, but short notice fights, different opponents. Close decisions, zig when you zag.
It is. It's just that's what's annoying about the short notice situation. Like the UFC should be like, and we know this does not mean anything to them, because Reese did it against one of the greatest fighters in the world and it didn't hold any water. Paul Redmond did it against one of the best featherweights in the world when he was a lightweight and it didn't hold any water when he lost the fight after. That's a sick thing. Like, surely they, of all people, should be the ones that know about these mitigating factors, given that they're the people that are putting them on the fighters.
Yeah, but I mean, I absolutely think that the matchmakers will take that into consideration when they're matching a Dublin card. Surely, they're not gonna stack the deck against the Irish in Dublin.
That's true. Well, this is what Sean Denny said to me as well. But I'll remind you, Louis Smoker v. Paddy Hewlin, Tom Breeze v. Kyle Pendred. I mean, do you think they're easy fights? Fuck no.
No.
Khalil Rountree v. Paul Craig. Paul Felder v. Stevie Ray. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no guarantee that everyone's going, here, you're fighting Petey Carroll, Kiefer. Go for it. You know what I mean? He just tears me up. It's like, yeah, I want to know. I'm in the UFC, baby.
What are your thoughts on Irish versus Irish matchups in the UFC?
Oh, I don't mind once they're in the UFC. Like, I don't mind at all once they're at the top table. Boy, go on. You have something just dirty. Curious. Yeah, no, you have just something curious. Dirty no. on your mind. What do you think? You think of Reese Kiefer? Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, what did you just say?
No, well, they're the only ones you can match together, so that's what I'm thinking. Well, like Ian Gary v. Reese v. Kiefer.
Who else could you match?
A triple threat. I don't know.
I see what I'm doing here. I'm just putting this all on you.
You're making me play the cabinet game, but I'm just criticized. I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway, Andy Stevenson, you're fantastic. Go and follow him. Make sure you listen to his podcast, The L-Triangle. I know I listen to it every single week, and he does great stuff for Severe MMA. He is the heartbeat of the Irish scene, and he has helped me calm myself down after a week of being nervous going on Twitter to see yet more abuse. Do you know what they're saying to me, Andy? Stop covering these people. That's not how it works. That is not how it works. Fucking hell. Whoa, stop bigging these people up. Well, this is my job. I mean, if I don't think they're going to win, I'm going to cover them because that's my fucking job. I mean, I don't get it, Andy. I'm sorry. I tried to finish there and now I'm going on another tangent.
No, but you know, yeah, we'll finish. But like, number one, if I can curse, fuck them. Number two, go and look at these fighters that we've been covering over the last while. Like, go and look at their streaks going into the UFC. Go look at Kiefer Crosby finishing Cowboy Oliveira. Go
crazy
look
at
Caelan Lochran finishing an Italian in Rome to win the Cage Warriors title. Reese McKee, 3 finishes in a row, 11 finishes in his career. Come on, like,
I love it. I love that, Andy. That's a beautiful way to end it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You know I love you. Keep up the good work. And who's going to win? You or Chuck for the fourth appearance? That's what I want to know. You're neck and neck.
I'm not even going to try and compete with that man.
I've given up years ago too, but thanks very much, Andy. Cheers. Okay. Andy Stevens has me told. I'm going to get down off my soapbox and just let it be. Whatever it is, let it be. I think they can win. So does Andy. I'm not ruling that out. And listen, I'm not really ruling out it being a magic event either. I can dream. I'm a dreamer. That's what I am. Thank you so much for listening this week. Thank you to Andy Stevenson. Thank you to Sugar Sean O'Malley, who was on with us earlier in the week. If you haven't listened to that, check that out. Lots of you have, though. Let's be honest. Record breaker. Anyway, I'm going to be away next week. I'm going away with Alain. So I'm going to pre-record a couple of episodes. That's how much I love you. I'm going to pre-record the episodes. We've got some nice guests lined up. I'm doing all those recordings tomorrow. See you soon. Have a lovely day. I hope this helped you. It certainly did help me. Bye-bye.